Well, I have to say, you have this line that I love, great cities have great grids. And after reading this book, I appreciate the short block I live on. And I'm much nicer driving down Magazine Street now that I appreciate what you've seen in it. And I think it will be useful to many people to read about that.
Well, I tell people the good nature, politeness among drivers in this city coming from New York is astonishing. And I have to say that I have left my New York habits behind me. And I am as courteous and smiling and everything that the rest of you are once I'm in my car here.
Now, when did you decide to make New Orleans your part-time home?
Well, as I say, I came down right after Katrina and started coming on a fairly regular basis. I couldn't get totally into it because I was still finishing my last book, Battle for Gotham, Moses Jacobs, and that was published in 2010. But I would come down periodically, and I fell in love with the place very quickly. So I bought my house in 07. It was clear to me I wanted to keep coming, and it was clear to me that I wanted it to be my next book. Mm-hmm. So I bought a house very almost spur of the moment in the Bywater. And I bought the house knowing that at least I needed the time to be here to really, you know, it's easy to helicopter into a city and look around, and people have done it and have lots of interviews and go back to wherever you came from and write a book. That's not my style. Now, I've written about many cities without living there, and there is, after you've been doing this long enough, it's easy for me to read a city pretty quickly, but not to the depth that I wanted to do here. So it was a commitment to do it and live in it so that I felt the full measure of what it was to be a New Orleanian, at least as much as I could. But people said, so you're going to sell the house? You know, you're going to leave after you finish the book? And it didn't take me long to say, no, this is it for me. Do I need to be in the north for the snow and the cold? It's a great place to be in the winter. I've made a lot of wonderful friends here. Mm-hmm. And some of them call me a part-time local. And that's fine for me.
That's a good title. I love that you end on a note of celebrating the women who made such a difference after Katrina.
Well, this was a special interest of mine. Over the years, I have just found in every city that has been reborn, women were at the forefront. I didn't go looking for this. Believe me, I may be a feminist, but this was not an agenda item. But it's true. And I'm putting on my website something that I wrote of all the other cities where, you know, this has been true. And at one point, I really wanted to write a book about the women who have saved cities. For many reasons, it wasn't in the cards. But I had heard about the women when I was down here in the 70s. I had heard about the women in the French Quarter and, you know, just really making mischief in ways that was just wonderful. And they were women who were of society. They weren't afraid of who was going to show retribution to them. And over the years, this has been the case. And then watching post-Katrina, I found women to be extraordinary. From Karen Gadbois, who started with her Squandered Heritage blog to create eventually The Lens, which is such a critical institution now in the city, to Tanya Harris in the Lower Ninth Ward, and the Women of the Storm. I mean, from the most socially in to the most socially out, women were at the forefront of everything in this city. And I chose to celebrate them. But you know what? I saved it to the last chapter, and I'll tell you why. If I had done it early, too many people would think, well, oh, this is a chick book, like a chick flick. And I didn't want that to happen because it's part of the story, but it's not the only story. Right. So I finished the book on that note.
And it's definitely not a chick book. Now, I have to ask you one question, and it's something that interests me generally in the lives of writers, but you in particular. How did writing this book and living here change you personally? What did it do for you? How did it shape your thinking? And
Well, I don't think it changed my thinking because, as I say in the book, most of what I found didn't surprise me because I've seen it in one form or another elsewhere. Although what I also say, and I'm going to say tonight at the lecture, is that what did surprise me was how unappreciated the urbanism of this city is, how unrecognized it is by a lot of people who live here because they don't quite understand what shape so many of our American cities are, having been decimated by urban renewal and bad development. But it changed me in a personal way. I lost my husband 12 years ago, so I am a woman alone, although I have two fabulous daughters and five grandchildren, all of whom live north. But I made new friends here, and this was very important. This became a life that was mine, not ours. So in a personal way, it was very rewarding. Plus, you know, at the minimum, it got me away from the snowstorms.
Well, welcome to the summers.
No, I leave summer and hurricanes to all of you.
Well,
and
all
I
right.
go back north.
So how do you feel about the city now? Do you feel hopeful? Do you feel worried? Do you feel invested?
I'm worried. And I say this at the end of the book. The city and its people have shown a remarkable resilience and feistiness in the last 10 years. But this is a population that also takes what it gets and shrugs and says, well, you know, that's how it is. And you're so used to that kind of thinking that some of it is creeping back in. And I worry about the master plan, the new zoning code. I worry that the voice of the people that was so strongly expressed during the 10 years is being ignored in many ways. The back room is not empty anymore. And I'm not sure that there are enough feisty people to stand up when the next version of charity comes along, or the public housing, or the wrong high rise. The loss in Holy Cross of the project with the two towers at a height that is not much different from the Central Business District, this village of people, working class people, that are going to be impacted in a way that's just wrong. The real estate prices are going up, traffic is going to increase, and they're going to get priced out. I worry because the overemphasis on tourism is distorting the city in unfortunate ways. People are moving to Araby and to Jefferson Parish. I talk to them all the time. You don't want to lose any more of your residential base. And unless you really get control of the tourist madness, regulate the Airbnb, regulate some of the things that are going too far, not look for the next hotel chain to take over a key site on Canal Street or elsewhere. So I worry, but then again, I look at some of the people that I've met and I say, you know, they will fight. Whether they win is a real question. They will fight on the internet. They will use social media. And all I can say is God bless them, because you will have a lot of fights coming up.
Well, thanks for preparing us for some of them.